And we are in the middle of the discussion of the view of Rabba. Rabba had said back on Daf Mem Hei that when the Mishnah taught that a craftsman does not have a presumption that it's his, even though the craftsman has had it and is under control of it, he says, it's mine, we don't believe him. We say, no, it belonged to the man who gave it to you. The person who's claiming he gave it to you for you to work it is the one who's believed. Because that's what's normally the case. So Rabba said, that's true if he had hired him and gave him the object in front of witnesses. But if he gave it to him, not in front of witnesses, since the craftsman could claim, I don't have the object. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're talking about. The object that you claim is yours is really mine, and I made it and never even bought it from you. It's always mine. So when he says that he bought it, he's believed. That's what Rabba said. So Abaye said to him, and why do you say that they're talking about a case when he get... then if that's the case, if there's such claims, even if he gave it to the craftsman in front of witnesses, the craftsman could have claimed, I returned it. And the fact that he's claiming that that he bought it should be believed. So Rabba said, that's not a possible argument. If he had gotten the object in front of witnesses, how could he claim, I returned it? It would only be considered a suitable return if you would give it back in front of witnesses. So we would say, where are those witnesses that you gave it back? So that's what Rabba had said. So Abaye disproved Rabba. How did Abaye disprove Rabba? Because Abaye quoted a brisa. The brisa says that if a person sees his cloak in the hands of a launderer, then he comes and he claims, you give me back my cloak. And the launderer says, what do you mean, your cloak? You gave it to me as a gift. We don't accept the words of the launderer, and he has to give back the cloak. So it's, but the brisa said, when does he have to give it back? If we saw the cloak in the hands of the launderer, because that way he can't claim that it never happened, he never had it, it's not the same cloak. We say, no, we know it is that cloak, we've seen the cloak, you need to give it back. But it sounds like, even if there were no witnesses about the original deposit, so long as there are witnesses that the object is there now, he has to give it back. So the Gemara says, no, we're talking about a case where there were witnesses on the original deposit. One second, if there are witnesses on the original deposit, it sounds like the only time he has to give it back is when we know he has it. But according to you, that if something is deposited in front of witnesses, the only way to give it back is in front of witnesses, so then why do you say that the reason why he's not believed to claim that it's his is because we saw that he has it? Forget about the fact that we saw that he has it. The fact that it was deposited in front of witnesses would make him not believe to claim it's his, because he should have given it back in front of witnesses. We'd say, where are your witnesses that you gave it back if this is in fact yours and you gave back the item that was given to you as a deposit? Therefore, Rabba said, okay, I have changed my mind and I believe that even if it was deposited in front of witnesses, it doesn't have to be returned in front of witnesses. It could be returned alone. That's what we had gotten up to yesterday. So now we're here on Mem Hamad Beis, Masiv Rava. However, Rava challenged Abaye. Masiv Rava. Rava challenged Abaye l'siyue l'Rabba, to support Rava's point of view. Because what does this brisa say? This brisa says like this. I know Saint Taliso Luman, if I gave my cloak to a craftsman to, let's say, do the laundry on it or to repair it or add something to it, and now we're arguing over how much we had agreed the price was going to be. Uman Omer Shtayim Katzatz Tali. The craftsman said, hey, Zev, you promised you would pay me 2 dinars. And I say back, no, I only promised to pay you 1 dinar. So I'll pay you 1 dinar. So now it depends where the cloak is. So Kolzman Shatalis Biyad Uman, if the craftsman still has the cloak, and I'm claiming I only owe him 1, he's claiming I owe him 2, Al Balabayas Lavi Raya, I have to prove that I only owe him 1 to be able to just pay him 1. But if I can't prove that I only owe him 1, he's holding it, so he doesn't have to give it back until I give him 2.
Then I have to prove that you owe him 2?
No, because he has the object. I'm trying to take the object from him.
So he doesn't have to prove the 2 dollars.
Right. I need to prove that I only owe him 1.
I read here that Rabbi Nero, that the Migu is because he could claim that he just bought it from the
correct.
From the owner.
He's holding it.
It's not typical of a craftsman to buy the cloak. The craftsman is here to fix the cloak. So why would we give him a Migu that he could have
said
that he buys? That's not normal.
Even though it's not normal, it's not completely abnormal. They also buy stuff. And since he has it, maybe that's what happened, that he bought it, correct. But Nisanalo, if he already gave me back the cloak, so he can't claim that he bought it, because if he bought it, why do I have it? So now, if he gives me back a cloak, really the law is that I need to pay him within the day he gives it to me. The day he gives it to me, I have to pay him before nightfall. So Bismano, if he's asking for his wages on time, and he's saying he's owed 2, and I'm saying he's only owed 1. So Nishba Venota. So he swears that he's owed 2, and he gets the 2, because this was a rabbinic legislation, that a person who was hired can swear in terms of what he was hired, and he's believed with that oath, because we say that the guy who did the hiring, who hired him, he probably forgot. However, avar zmano, but if he's only claiming the wages, let's say a week later, after the time has passed, so now he's trying to take the wages away from the man who has it. So now amotz min chaver olavar raya. He needs to prove that he's owed 2, and then he can get his full 2. So now, hey chidami, what's the case of this brisa? Idika edim, if we're talking about a case where I gave the cloak to the craftsman in front of witnesses. So now, why do we have this whole discussion about, at what point he's asking for it back? Lechzi edim ay kamri. He has to return in front of witnesses. Let's go get those witnesses, and let's ask them, what was the deal? How much was the agreement that he was going to get paid? Elalaps, you have to say, Deleka Edim. There were apparently no witnesses about the original deposit, so we can't figure out how much originally he was promised he would be paid. Vikatani, and yet the Braisa says, Uman Mehemet. If he still has the cloak, the craftsman has the cloak, then he's believed when he says that I owed him 2. Why? Migu, apparently, as Gavriel pointed out, he has a migu. He could have claimed, I have this cloak because I bought it from you. And then he would have been believed, Mehemet. So therefore, Mehemet Nami is also believed when he says, not that I bought it from you, but I'm working it because you told me to work it and you promised me to. He's also believed about the wage. So this is a support to Rabbah, which is that a person is believed to claim that he bought it so long as there weren't 2 witnesses who say that he got it as a deposit. And it's against Abaye, who said that as long as we see it in his hands, we wouldn't believe him to claim that he bought it, even if, right, as long as we see it in his hands, he's no longer believed to claim he bought it, even though when he originally got it, there were no witnesses. This seems to be like Rabbah. So Gemara says, lo, that's not what's going on. La'olam deleka edim. You're right. There are no witnesses about the original deposit. So we can't go ask the witnesses what was the original deal. But in addition, v'hu d'lo ra, we're also talking about a case where no one has seen the craftsman with the cloak. So since we don't have witnesses who've identified him holding on to Zev's cloak, so of course he has a migu, he can claim. It's not even Zev's cloak. I don't even have to say I bought it. It's my cloak. So since he could claim lo hayu dvar me'olam, there was never any arrangement. When he claims there was an arrangement and the deal was that I'm going to get paid too, that is supported, and he wins.
What about a receipt or a star or a clean check?
He must not have had receipts, that's right. He didn't make it in this case.
Those days you really needed anywhere you went to go with two people, Rabbi.
Yeah, that you can't be related to, that you can't pay.
Anything you did, you needed two people next to you.
Witnesses help you. Asks the Gemara, Maser Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, challenged the view of Rabba. Again, we learned in our Mishnah, Uman ein lo chazaka, a craftsman, because he has an object, we don't presume that it's his. Uman ud ein lo chazaka, a craftsman is the one whom we assume does not have a chazaka. Ha'acher yesh lo chazaka. It sounds like somebody else who's not a craftsman would have a chazaka if he's holding on to something. Now, hey chidami, so what's that case? And it sounds like another person like a craftsman. Another person like a craftsman means a shomer, a watchman, a steward. So, if there were witnesses that it was given to him to watch, amay yesh lo chazaka, why does he have a chazaka? He has to give it back in front of witnesses. So, of course, he has no migu. Why would he have a chazaka that it's his? Because he's been using it for a while. El Abduleka Eda. Must be that there were no witnesses when it was given to him. The Katani, and it says, Uman ein lo chazaka. When there are no witnesses, the craftsman has no chazaka, and the plain watchman would have a chazaka. So, to Yufta de Rabba, that disproves Rabba, because Rabba claimed the only case when the craftsman doesn't have a chazaka is when the craftsman got it from in front of witnesses. But here we're saying that even when the craftsman did not get it from witnesses, the craftsman doesn't have the chazaka. So Yufta, you're right. Rabba is disproven. Okay, so now we talk about a discussion of craftsmen, which is a very relevant discussion. In a lot of scenarios, let's say you go to the dry cleaner and you deposit your shirts to the dry cleaner for the dry cleaner to clean them. And instead of giving back your shirt, he gives you someone else's white shirt. Are you allowed to now wear that shirt? You know it's not your shirt, but on the other hand, the dry cleaner gave you someone else's. Probably he gave to that someone else your shirt. So now can you wear the shirt? Or do we say no? Listen, you know it's stolen. You can't wear it. So Tana Rabbana, we learned in a braisa. Nischal fulo kelim bekelim bevesa uman. Let's say in the shop of the craftsman where you went to get your tailored pants, he gave you somebody else's tailored pants. Harezi yishtamish behem. You are allowed to use them, even though you know they're not yours. Ad sheyavo halo v'yitol et shelo, until that other person comes and he takes back his object. Because basically we're assuming that the craftsman made a swap, and we assume that everybody is forgiving one thing to the next person.
So if it fits, wear it.
As of now, right. As we'll see why. Okay. However, Bevesava, let's say you go to a shiva house. There are lots of coats on the rack. You put your coat up on the rack. You go out of the shiva house, you take a coat off the rack and put it on. You get home, you realize, oh, it's not my coat. I took somebody else's coat, but he probably took my coat. Can I now wear his coat? Oh, Bevesa Mishter, I went to a wedding. and I come out with somebody else's coat, then I'm not allowed to use them. Rather, I have to wait for that other person to come and take back his object. So Gemara asks, so why? Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. What's the difference? Why, when I mistakenly got the wrong object in a craftsman's shop, in a dry cleaning store, I can use the other guy's stuff. But if I get the wrong coat in a shiva house or in a wedding, I can't use it. Amar Rav. Rav explained, Hava yasivna kameda chavivi. I was sitting in front of my beloved, in front of my uncle, Reb Chiya. Amar Li, and he explained, when I get the wrong coat from the craftsman, it's not clear what happened. On the one hand, it could be that the craftsman gave my coat to Reuven and gave me Reuven's coat without Reuven knowing, without Reuven's approval, without my approval. That's one possibility. But there's also another possibility. The other possibility is, some people go to a craftsman, and this addresses Gabriel's point, and they say, you know what, I have a coat. It's not such a good coat. You fix it up. I want you to fix it up. Why don't you make it into a nice coat? You know, put in the buttons that fell off. You know, make a nice trim on it. You know, spruce it up. And now, because you're in the business of sprucing things up, you sell it. So it was actually things that the craftsman is supposed to sell. So it could be that the cloak that I got is not that it's the craftsman mistakenly giving me Reuven's coat. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that these are some of the coats that the craftsman is allowed to sell. This is a coat that's available for the craftsman to sell. It's his coat to sell. So he decided to give it to me. So he's allowed to do that. It's his to sell. So v'chiyein adam asui lomar l'uman, isn't it normal for a person to sell to a craftsman, mechor li talisi? You be the one to sell the talis. You improve it and you sell it. So if he's allowed to sell it, as part of his sales, he could give it to Yaakov, he can give it to Zev. It's all part of the sale.
Sale or matana?
It's a sale.
So then he has to get paid for it.
Maybe he did pay him.
There's no money involved the way you're saying, Rabbi.
Well, you know, since it's earmarked for sale, he can also give it as a matana, you know, as a temporary gift, right? He can say, here, you have it until I find your coat. And when I find your coat, I'll call you, you'll come back, I'll give you yours.
Okay. It's he sold the guy's coat by mistake.
Okay. But it's up to, well, even if he didn't sell this man's coat,
he is
a Shomer Sachar, correct. But he has other coats that he's been hired or empowered, I should say, to sell them. Things that I'm allowed to sell, I'm in charge of them. So I can say, all right, you wear it for a week. You model it. And you'll come back with it, you know. So that's all part of my selling. I can do that. So if I came into the store and I got a coat from the craftsman, it's not my coat. So it could be that it's Reuven's coat and he gave it to me with no permission. It also could be that Reuven gave him full authority over his coat because Reuven wants him to sell his coat. So he's in charge of selling. He can let me use it for a while too till he finds my coat and gives me back my coat.
But you discuss it with him. That's again saying that I'm taking it, but this is not my coat.
That's not the case. I didn't realize it wasn't my coat till I got home.
Didn't realize it either?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Rabbi, couldn't it be that also you can take a look at it that the craftsman has coats. You came in, like you said, fix my coat up, make it better for me. He said, okay, you know what? I couldn't do such a good job on that. I promised him I was going to fix him up and make a nice coat, but I have this nice coat, so I'm going to give him this coat instead.
Also could be. It could be. Well, not that it's his to give. Maybe. Oh, you mean when he's allowed to sell?
Right.
Also a possibility.
Sell, he can give.
Right. It's a possibility. So that's why you can keep using the coat. But if you're in a shiva house, so and you take the wrong coat, no one. There's no possibility that the authorized person is authorizing you to use that coat. You took the wrong coat. So that you don't have a right to use.
That's gone.
You have to wait till the real owner comes and reclaims his coat.
Right. But if you're at a wedding and there's a coat check,
right.
They give it to you. Is that authorization
no.
to use it?
No, because they are not authorized to sell people's coats. It's not. It's not like a tailor. A tailor is selling some of the stuff he has. The coat check is just moving, you know, putting it on the rack, taking it off the rack. But they don't have rights to sell the stuff that they have.
The exchange.
Sure. It's a very cold day. Couldn't you assume that the other person also took your coat, and the next day they'll both bring it back?
Right. So apparently, at a craftsman store, I mean, at a shiva house, we're saying that, right? At a shiva house, we're saying that. Yes, Izzy.
Part to fix it. I'm going to take it to a gym every time. It's hard.
Yeah, it's not so easy. That's true. To always have witnesses around. Okay, let's continue. I'm a Rav Chiya, Brei Rav Nachman. Rav Chiya, the son of Rav Nachman, said, Lo Shanu Elohu. This is only true where the craftsman gave me the coat. Because the craftsman, it could be, is in fact selling some coat. So he gave it to me deliberately, and therefore he was entitled to, so I could keep using it. But if it's his wife who gives me the coat, so there it's more likely that it was just a mistake made. So then lo, then I'm not allowed to use the coat. For who nami, and even where the craftsman gave me the coat, lo amaran, ela da'amar le talistam, where he said, oh, here's a cloak. Aval talischa, but if he said, here's your cloak, that means the craftsman is making a mistake. He thinks this is my cloak, and it's not Reuven's cloak, but it's really Reuven's cloak. So then lo, then I'm not allowed to use it, because hai lav talisti de, because it's not my talis. Amar le abaye, Le Rava. Abaye had once said to Rava, Ta'achvilach ramai de Pumpedisa. I want to show you what the dishonest people of Pumpedisa do. My Avdi, what do they do? So it's like this. They do the following. Amar le havli sar balai. If a person says to one of them, give me back my cloak that I gave you to repair, they say, lo hayu dvar me'olam. It never happened. I don't have a cloak of yours. And if you say, I have witnesses who saw it in your domain, which we saw before, the whole brisa that first created problems for Rabbah, that if there are witnesses that know that the object, that is the object of yours in the craftsman's domain, is no longer believed to claim it's his. Hamalei, they mess up the witnesses. They say, no, hahu achrina hava. That was a different cloak. It looked similar. And if you say to them, Afkinu v'nechzinu, so let's take out the cloak and show it to the witnesses, and they can figure out, is it fact mine as they think, or it's yours? Amalei, they say, these deceptive craftsmen of Pumpedisa, they say, Ibralom afkinu le. In truth, I'm not going to bring it out. So Amar Rava, Rava said, shop your kamerle. Listen, what they're doing is right. Because, you know, you can't tell a craftsman that he has to produce the cloak for people to look at if it's not Zev's cloak, if it's Reuven's cloak. Why should Reuven's cloak be looked at and touched by other people? He has a responsibility to protect Reuven. As Jason pointed out, he's a Shomer Sachar. He's a paid watchman on Reuven's stuff. So he wants to protect Reuven's stuff. He's entitled to do that. And in fact, Ra Tanya, that's what the Brisa says, if we have witnesses who see the cloak in the hands of the craftsman and they are testifying about it, then he has to give it up. But if they don't know that it's necessarily there, the craftsman does not have to give it up. Amar Rav Ashi said, but if you, the man who's being held up by this craftsman, are cunning, you could get it back. Ichachim, if you're wise. Mashvi le ra, you'll negotiate and talk in a way to get him to show the cloak to the witnesses. Why, Damarle? You'll tell him like this. Amai tfisitle. Why do you have my cloak? Lav mishum dislach gaboy. Isn't it because there's money that I owe you? There's money that I owe you. So I owe you money, and that's why you have my cloak, because you're trying to get me to give you the money. So he says it quietly, as it's pointed out in the footnotes here, because he doesn't want to be a hodas baldin, but basically he leads this thief on to make the thief think that he's admitting that he owes the thief money. And then he says to this thief, afkinu, okay, let's take out the cloak, v'shayminu, and let's make an assessment now. Let's see how much it's worth. And then, shkol atidach, v'eshkol anadidi, and then whatever part of the cloak is rightfully yours, you can keep, and I'll take from the cloak what's mine. In other words, if the cloak is worth 500, and I owe you 250, you'll get half the cloak, and I'll get the other half back. So you give me back the 500. I'm going to give me back the cloak. I'm going to give you 250. But I need to see the cloak to be able to make an assessment. And in that way, you'll fool him to taking out the cloak and showing it to the witnesses, who could then say, "Yeah, yeah, that's in fact that was always Zev's cloak. We recognize that." Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei Rav Avaya l'Rav Ashi. So Rav Acha l'son Rav Avaya said back to Rav Ashi, "It's really not such a great plan." Matzi Amarle, because this deceptive craftsman might say, "Lo tzrichna l'shum adidach. I don't need your assessment. Kvar shamua kamei de kamayi. Those who were before and before have already assessed it. They have already assessed it as being equal in value to the value of the money that you owe me. So why should I show it to you so that you could say, 'Oh, I'm going to give you back the cash'? I mean, I don't need the cash. I have it already. I have the cloak. It's worth that cash. So I'm not showing anything to you." And once he doesn't show, so his claim that that it's his is a reasonable claim. You know, we can't disprove him. What's that?
I'm saying the Oman has a problem here, because it's already almost mutare that this is his jacket. But the Shammai said that his work is Siddhala. Before we say it's not yours, it's other people's.
Yeah, well, we're just talking about his motivation. His motivation would be, even if the depositor, the mafkid, is trying to fool him by making him think that he's willing to give him money, he's going to think through it, and he's going to say, "Well, I already have the money, so why should I get involved? Maybe the guy's just trying to fool me." So now the Mishnah went further. After craftsman, it spoke about a sharecropper. And it said again, Aris ein lo chazaka. If a sharecropper is on a field for 3 years, and he's planting, and he's plowing, and he's harvesting, and nobody protested, that does not create a presumption that he owns the field. So the Gemara asks, Amai, why is this so? Ada idna palga. If he's a real sharecropper, he's only going to get a share. He's going to get maybe half. But hashtakula, here he just got all the produce for 3 years. That's a good proof that it's his and nobody protested. So Rabbi Yochanan explained what type of a sharecropper is the Mishnah dealing with. Barise bate avo. So we're talking about a sharecropper who's, you know, it's gone on for generations. You know, for generations, that family has been working in this family's field. So since that family's been working in this family's field for generations, so the way it works, go on 3 years where they get all the produce, and then the next 3 years, our family will get all the produce. And therefore, it wasn't a chazak, even though he got all the produce. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, though, said, Arish shehored aris in tachtav, even if it's an ancestral sharecropper, he brings in other sharecroppers and nobody protests, yesh lo chazaka. That already creates a presumption that he bought it and it's really his. My time a wide low. Again, when people do things that show them as the owner, that's very upsetting to the true owner. So it's not reasonable to think that there's a true owner, but because this is an ancestral sharecropper, he's allowing the sharecroppers to bring in new sharecroppers. If they're bringing in new sharecroppers to work with them, that really is a sign of ownership. He should have protested. If he didn't protest, it's a proof that he, in fact, sold it.
Doesn't this refer, Rabbi, to the breakthrough that we learned, that there's so many years that you have to make that claim?
That's
so
right.
3 years.
So it's not really
3 years. If 3 years went by, that's a proof that he is not the owner anymore. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said another law. Arish shechalak larisin. If an ancestral sharecropper, though, brought in other sharecroppers and he gave them a portion of the field, ein lo chazaka, that's not a chazaka. My time, why is that any different? Because emor hermanya ba'al moshavya, because there we can say that he's just appointing a supervisor. In other words, even though a field owner wouldn't want subcontractors to work on the field, but he doesn't care if the sharecropper gives a little bit of work to the subcontractor to delegate, because, you know, it's a lot for him to do it all himself. So therefore, he's okay with somebody else adding an... Okay, we'll stop at this point. Rabbi Hanania ben Akasha, Yadil to Rabbi Adir.